want to write an opera on a new, grand, beautiful, varied, passionate subject. Passionate in the extreme with new forms. In my opinion, the more novelties and peculiarities, the better. So wrote Giuseppe Verdi in full italics as he was putting the finishing touches on Rigoletto and turned his attention to the next project. The new opera would be Il Trovatore. Hello, I'm Eleanor Olin. Welcome to my commentary on Giuseppe Verdi's opera, Il Trovatore. The music you'll hear is generously furnished by Warner Classics and is available for purchase on iTunes. Lyrics commentaries are made possible through the generous support of the Patrick G. and Shirley Welsh Ryan Foundation in memory of their parents. As with many of Verdi's operas, Il Trovatore is based on an existing literary work. Verdi was drawn to spoken plays with proven track records, works with strong characters placed in sometimes controversial but always compelling dramatic confrontations. For this opera, Verdi chose the work of Spanish dramatist Antonio García Gutiérrez, Verdi's exact contemporary. Both men were born in 1813. Gutiérrez's play, El Trovador, The Troubadour, was a rousing success in 1836. The playwright, who was a private in the Spanish army at the time of the premiere, had to throw a coat over his uniform to take an unprecedented curtain call. The historical setting of the work is 15th century Aragon, where the king had left no heir. A bitter struggle for the throne triggered a civil war between two pretenders, Prince of Castile and Count of Urgel. For his hero, Gutiérrez chose the name Manrique, a name historically associated with the court of Aragon and its poet warriors, that is, troubadours, one of whom died in the service of Isabella of Aragon, as in Ferdinand and Isabella, patrons of Columbus and other historical events. For the rest, the play is free and loose with the facts. Gutiérrez's enhancements of Spanish history are features of 19th century romanticism. Slighted innocence, unrequited love, and sympathy for the outsider, for underdogs, standing up to those abusing their power. In particular, El Trovador is sympathetic to the plight of gypsies, who are portrayed as victims of prejudice, superstition, and persecution by nobility. Here, the family of the ruthless Count di Luna. Verdi was closely involved with the shaping of this story into a final libretto. In collaboration with dramatist Salvatore Camarano, he revised the scenario and structure of the Spanish play, sidestepping a more traditional operatic love story in favor of multiple characters' conflicting stories, none of which ends happily, to centralize the themes of vendetta and vengeance. The gloomy outcomes of Il Trovatore may have resonated with the tragic events of Verdi's life. His early operatic failures, the comic opera Un Giorno di Regno, was a spectacular disaster in 1840, combined with the loss of his wife and two children shortly thereafter, all within the space of 22 months, undoubtedly cast a dark shadow over his outlook on life. In poor health during the 1840s, he had vowed more than once to give up composing operas altogether. By 1851, when he had begun work on Il Trovatore, Verdi had moved with his life companion, Giuseppina Streponi, to Sant'Agata, a farm in northern Italy on land once owned by Verdi's ancestors. In a relationship not sanctified by clergy, Verdi himself lived in confrontation with current religious, family, and social conventions. And he knew very well the dramatic characteristics of a strong, independent, and resourceful woman. The woman who may have proposed an opera on this Spanish play. Scholar Julian Budden has noted that Strepponi translated Gutierrez's Il Trovador into Italian, and in a letter to Verdi shortly before the opera's premiere, pressed him to hurry up and give our Trovatore. Indeed, Verdi's opera would highlight, in his words, an uncommon female character, a new and expanded mezzo-soprano role whose actions drive the plot. This character's two great passions, maternal love and a daughter's vengeance, fascinated the composer. In a letter to a friend, Verdi wrote, "The role I intend for her is strange, original, difficult, indeed impossible for someone without talent, but simple for someone who understands." Enrico Caruso apparently understood. "Performing Il Trovatore is simple," he commented. "It only takes the four greatest singers in the world." The plot of Il Trovatore comes with a significant backstory. Long before the action begins, a vendetta was set in motion. An old gypsy woman was accused of setting a curse on the infant son of the local ruler, Count di Luna. The old woman was burned at the stake, but not before calling on her daughter, Azucena, to avenge her wrongful death. As the curtain rises, Ferrando, captain of the guard in the Count's army, is entertaining his troops with details of this gruesome tale. The gypsy's daughter abducted one of two royal sons and threw him into the flames of her mother's funeral pyre. The men all swear to find the gypsy daughter and to take vengeance on this evil deed. The current Count di Luna, the son who wasn't thrown into the flames, is in love with Leonora, lady-in-waiting to the Princess of Aragon. Leonora's heart, however, has been captured by a mysterious knight to whom she had awarded the winner's trophy at a tournament. He has been serenading her nightly, hidden by the darkness of the nocturnal gardens. Hearing his song, Leonora rushes to meet him, just as the Count makes an untimely appearance. The two men recognize each other as political rivals, and there is a challenge to a duel. In a gypsy camp hidden in the mountains, Manrico, the erstwhile troubadour and rebel leader, has been gravely wounded. Azucena, the gypsy woman whom he has known as his mother, carefully nurses him back to health. She reveals to him some of the details of her tragic life. In obedience to her dying mother's command, she had indeed stolen the old Count's infant son, but in her frenzied anguish and rage, she had thrown her own baby into the fire. She has raised the son of Count di Luna, Manrico, as her own. Manrico is still not clear about his parentage. On learning that Leonora is entering a convent, she believes her lover to be dead, Manrico rushes to intervene. Unsuccessful in their rescue efforts, both Manrico and Azucena are taken prisoner by the Count's forces. Hearing of her lover's capture, Leonora offers herself to the Count in exchange for Manrico's life. Instead of fulfilling her promise, however, Leonora takes poison and dies in her lover's arms. Realizing that he has been cheated, Luna orders Manrico's execution. Azucena announces to Luna as her final revenge, "He was your brother." Even a century and a half ago, the plot of Il Trovatore was met with critical outrage and scorn. How are we to accept the absurdities of this storyline? How could a gypsy, a single mother, an ethnic outsider, be the central character of this 19th century opera? Yet, Il Trovatore was and remains one of the most successful of all Verdi's works, indeed, among the most popular of all Italian operas. In its first 3 years alone, Trovatore achieved no fewer than 229 productions internationally, each with multiple performances. And as parody is the highest form of flattery, in Naples, a farce with music, una famiglia entusiasmata per la bella musica del trovatore, a family thrilled by the beautiful music of Il Trovatore, was nearly as successful as the opera itself. Any skepticism we might harbor about the illogical elements of the plot in this opera are entirely eclipsed by an abundance of melodies guaranteed to follow you home, the energy of its rhythmic drive, and yes, our sympathy for the characters through their musical depiction. In fact, we are brought to understand that the moments of the characters' greatest irrationality are their moments of greatest desperation. This is opera. The four principal roles of Il Trovatore are Leonora, soprano, Manrico, tenor, Azucena, mezzo-soprano, and Count di Luna, baritone. We can also count the orchestra as a fifth character. Verdi uses orchestral melodies, rhythms, and harmonies to introduce and to remind us of characters and events. Remarkably, the opera begins without an overture. As the curtain rises, we hear only the ominous, distant thunder of bass drum and timpani. Shortly thereafter, Ferrando, captain of the guard, sings, "Alerta, listen up." To keep his men awake, he tells the story of the gypsy and the stolen child. In fast, urgent rhythmic patterns, Ferrando rallies the men to support the count's vendetta. They respond, "Wicked woman! What horror she stirs in me!" In contrast to the masculine energy of the opening number, the next scene features Leonora telling her story. Like Gilda in Rigoletto, she has fallen for a mysterious stranger. But unlike Gilda, our innocent young soprano was captivated not by her lover's appearance, but by the sound of his voice. Leonora describes her joy on hearing his serenade in the moonlit garden beneath her balcony. Despite her companion's misgivings about such a dangerous liaison, Leonora rapturously sings that her destiny is to be at his side. Without him, she will die. The orchestra's strings play a strumming accompaniment, evoking the troubadour's lute or her racing heart, to underscore Leonora's short, breathless phrases. Repeating trills and ecstatic ascending melodic gestures culminate in a virtuosic cadenza. Musically, we are convinced that she is rapturously in love, innocent, and confident in her future. Most of Verdi's 26 operas, the chorus provides a curtain raiser, setting scene and mood for the entire work. Il Trovatore is a rare and notable exception. The chorus makes its first full appearance only at the beginning of Act Two, and what an entrance. The community of gypsies sing about the humble pleasures of their lives and then all'opera, to work. For the first time, and maybe the last until parodies by the Marx Brothers, the percussion section of the orchestra expanded to include blacksmithing tools. The score calls for martelli sulla incudini, hammers on anvils, to be played on the beat by tenors and basses while singing. Here is the legendary anvil chorus. In correspondence with his librettist, Verdi lobbied to name this opera La Zingara, the Gypsy. Although his choice of title was to change, Azucena is arguably the most complex of all Verdi's characters. She is a quintessential Verdi heroine. She is resourceful, she challenges existing social mores, and she tells her own truth. Verdi knew that vocal demands on the singer portraying Azucena would be extraordinary. At this point in his career, he could call the shots in choosing a theater to house the premiere of Il Trovatore in 1853. He chose the Teatro Apollo in Rome, in no small part for the opportunity to engage Emilia Goggi, whose voice was capable of the 2+ octave range, timbral richness, and intensity of expression required for this role. As the gypsies gather around her, Azucena takes center stage to tell her side of the story. She is not simply the strega, the witch, that Ferrando had described earlier. Verdi's music shifts our perception. We understand that a devoted daughter was forced to watch her mother cruelly and unjustly burned at the stake. The orchestra abruptly veers from the major key of the anvil chorus to a darker minor key, which henceforth will be associated with Azucena's tinta, or the musical soundscape she inhabits. Initially, the spare sound of pianissimo strings is the only accompaniment to Azucena's narration, which is distinguished by uneven rhythms and trills, sung first very softly and then suddenly at full volume. She sings of the flames and her mother's last words, "Avenge me." In desperation, anguish, and rage, Azucena had lost all reason and threw her own child into the fire. The great challenge for a mezzo-soprano portraying Azucena is to continually build the emotional intensity throughout this ballad, with its wide melodic range reaching into the lowest register of her voice. Azucena's distinctive flame motif is doubled by the violins, then joined by the dark sounds of the lower woodwinds to create the effect of the conflagration in her nightmare memory. Flames, like revenge, are all-consuming. They devour good judgment, even rationality. Here is Azucena's Stride la Vampa, Blazing Flames. Leonora and Manrico have fled the Count di Luna's army and have taken refuge in a castle where they prepare to wed. Manrico reveals to Leonora that he is, or so he believes, Azucena's son. Manrico assures Leonora that he will love her till his last breath, but his destiny is to defend his mother. Di quella pira, from that burning pyre, is a heroic and virtuosic aria for Manrico, famous for the tenor's high C's. These stratospheric pitches are not original to Verdi's score, but the composer reluctantly sanctioned the embellishment, implicitly acknowledging his role in development of the heroic tenor voice type. At the end of the opera, the principal characters have all been challenged by and compelled to choose between conflicting loyalties and identities. They have had to find, trovare, their own reconciliation between these discordant forces. Leonora has taken poison rather than submit to an unimaginable marriage with the Count. She dies in Manrico's arms. Azucena rushes in, only to witness the Count murder his rival. The lowest instruments of the orchestra, the double basses, play a pianissimo tremolo as she announces, "He was your brother." Azucena claims the last word. She summons the force of the full orchestra, proclaiming, "O mother, you have been vindicated."